Mojo 5-0.
And crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
America Rock Radio.
That's right, American Huck Radio Saturday edition. And as you well know, the show don't go until after you've had your daily hello. Good afternoon, you American Huckers. Happy Saturday. It's the 85th day with 280 still to go in 2022. Today is Epilepsy Awareness Day, and that aims to increase the public knowledge of a neurological condition affecting nearly 15 million people worldwide, also known as Purple Day. People are encouraged to wear purple in support of epilepsy awareness. The neurological condition epilepsy impacts the central nervous system, causing seizures and other symptoms. The types of seizures vary depending on the causes and types of epilepsy. It's also National Nougat Day that celebrates a soft and chewy, sometimes hard, crunchy candy, often found at the center of a candy bar, made by whipping egg whites together and adding honey or sugar, roasted nuts, ouch, and sometimes candied fruit, them poor guys. Some say nougat has been a sweet treat since ancient Roman times, enjoyed both as a candy all on its own or paired with chocolate or other flavorings. Yum! It's National Spinach Day. Aye, aye, Popeye. That reminds us of the health benefits packed into this leafy green vegetable. Not only are there so many delicious ways you can enjoy spinach, but it is also incredibly good for you. An annual plant, spinach grows natively in Central and Southeast Asia, thought to have originated in ancient Persia. Arabs, traders carried spinach into India and later introduced it into ancient China. There, it was known as Persian vegetable. The earliest available records of spinach plant was found in documents. It's found in Chinese documents. It noted that the spinach plant was introduced to China via Nepal. It's day 742 of 14 to flatten the curve. Thank you, Liberty Lighthouse. We'll be on this very evening. I called in sick this morning on account of diarrhea. My boss told me to get my shit together. How appropriate for a crappy one-liner. Good afternoon, Mojo 5-0. I'm Leprechaun, and this is the Rock'em Sock'em Saturday Show. And today, I thought we would do comedians. We haven't done humor in quite some time, as I recall, probably 4 or 5 months, or at least that long ago. So I thought maybe we would do some humor today, because the world is such a nasty gray place. And just like today, I hate clouds and yucky weather. It's supposed to get warm next week, and it's not here yet. All right, how about in this first set, we get to some funny people. I've got George Carlin and Bill Cosby together for you, the first one. And, oh, George is from 1965, so we're starting way back. We're going to try and do like 50 years or so of comedy today. So without further ado, my friends, let's make it a happy, joy kind of Saturday and get to the tunes. George Carlin, Bill Cosby coming your way right away.
Happy joy. One of our proudest comedy finds is with us tonight. He's starring at Basin Street East here in New York. Certainly one of the most important clubs in the country. His name is George Carlin. He spoofs many things of a not-so-serious nature. He's a bright and very contemporary comedian. So I understand his act tonight's got a little bit more sting than usual. So let us all listen together. But here is George Carlin.
Hi, how are you? Thank you very much, Merv. Thank you all.
Leave him alone then.
Really, it's impossible to pick up a newspaper these days without reading something about a protest or a march or a demonstration. This group is protesting another group's march and demonstrating against their bonfire and their rally. The pickets are against the pickets. They're picketing the pickets now. There's even one group that next week is having a parade to protest the fact that they can't get a parade permit. Now that's kind of strange. It's really, it's getting just a little bit out of hand. The Hertz Rent-A-Pickets are doing wonderfully, of course. But the signs are what really scare you from time to time. Let's get out of Vietnam. Let's get out of the UN. Let's get out of the street. We're blocking the traffic. Ban the bomb. Bomb the ban. Genghis Khan is alive in Argentina. He is not. Join the Mother's March on sore feet. It's gotten very strange. I even saw one guy with a sign that had nothing on it, absolutely blank, except down in the bottom it said, your grievance in this space, called Judson 414. That's a little bit weird. But it is a little strange about these groups. We talk about extremism and radicals, and I thought to clear a little of the air about it, we invited a fellow with us here tonight who's a member of one of these so-called radical groups. He's the local chapter head of the John Birch Society. His name is Lyle O. Higley. The O stands for Old Glory. He's a veteran of two wars, a depression, and a Mets doubleheader. Let's give him a nice welcome, Lyle O. Higley. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The name is Lyle Higley. I'm the head of the local chapter at the John Birch Society. I'm what you might call your local chapter head. And that's a New York chapter that takes in New York, New Jersey, and parts of Idaho. Having a little trouble making up the zones, but we're working off an old Lewis and Clark map, you understand? That's not the only thing the Attorney General will let us have, quite frankly. But we're very well known in the area. We won the Mixed Bowling League last year. That's pretty important, pretty progressive for an outfit like ours. Of course, I feel that's what we need is a little more progress here in the 19th century. A lot of good things coming along for you. The Industrial Revolution's right around the corner. Steam engine will be finished next week. A lot of good things coming along for the ladies. At this time, I was going to have a guest speaker for us tonight. I had invited the head of the Ku Klux Klan, the Grand Imperial Almighty Omnipotent Invincible Stomper. However, his wife won't let him out of the house tonight. In his place, we have the supply officer in charge of sheets and ropes. The fellow's been coming along very nicely in the Klan. He started off as a clod, then he went to a kloop, and Klegel, Klaxon, Klepto, now he's a clod. He's just been acquitted of murder for the sixth time. We'd like to introduce him now. Collie Lee Collie. That's weird. He's got his dog with him. His dog's a collie, too. How do you like that?
Thank you very much. And I'd just like to address my remarks in the Northern Commie Liberal Pinko Press. I have been living in the South for 27 years, and I have never seen a cross burning on anybody's lawn. I've seen whole neighborhoods go up.
Thank you very much, Collie. I think we all realize he's not playing with a full deck, folks. And before we leave you tonight, I have one thing I'd like to remind you. The girls have been busy all week packing up the John Birch authorized kits. Everything is ready to go. It's got everything you need. We'd like every one of you to have one. You get your Donald Duck grenade launchers in there. It's a grenade launcher with the little Donald Duck on his side. 200 tickets to the witch hunt up in Salem next week. We got the John Birch handbook on how to persecute without prosecuting. And mainly, we got a document that every American ought to see. This here is a list of 146 outstanding communists in the State Department. Each and every one of these 123 names has been thoroughly investigated by the FBI. We're going to take these 94 guys and throw them in jail where they belong. The whole 62 of them, believe me. You get a list with 38 names on it like that, and you know how to work with it. We know how to handle these 17 commies. Not one of the five of them will get away. And when that guy shows up, he's in trouble, pal, I'll tell you that.
Basketball was invented in Springfield, Massachusetts. Dr. Naismith. Springfield, is the doctor here tonight? Invented basketball. It was too cold in Massachusetts to play football. The ball, the guy throw the ball to you, and you catch and break your fingers. It's old. Do you see? You don't know anything like that. Living in San Francisco, you don't know what it's like to try and play football 27 below zero, and the guy throw a ball, and your fingers draw inside of your arm, trying to get out of the way. Is he crazy? I don't want that. And that's why you missed the ball. Your fingers have disappeared, man. And you say, well, we can't play that. Then some nut tried to play baseball, 27 below zero, line drive, and the guy's hands just went and broke. So Dr. Naismith was in the barn, and he was saying, I must invent a game. You know, that's the way great inventors start out. I must invent something. Must have been, he was in this old raggedy barn. He had a football, and he bounced it. And the football went, green ball, bad ball, okay. He said, well, that's not the ball for it. Right away, decision making, see, right away. Just think about that. If he hadn't, you'd have had to play basketball with a football. Try, look at that kind of dribbling. What kind of, and he started, clonk, and it's up in the stands. That'd be a ridiculous game. And they're out on the basketball court, and Frazier backs up and drop kicks 2 points. So he got this round ball, and he's just walking around with it. He said, there must be something I can play in this indoor place because it's warm. And he saw a trash can. And he walked over to the trash can, and he dropped the ball in it. And he said, now that's kind of cool, you know. That's what he said. It's in the book. That's kind of cool. You look in the book, Dr. Naismith says, that's kind of cool. And then he dropped it in the can again. And then he kind of moved away from it, and he's looking at the can, and he jumped around it, you know, and went back, and he went, and he was digging it, and he was having the ball. Ho, hey, hop, ho. Now, coming by was Willie the janitor, see? And Willie is pushing the broom, cleaning up, and he's looking at this man with a doctorate throwing a ball in the trash can, talking to himself. Well, Willie didn't understand that too much. You know, well, he's educated. So the doctor said, Willie, would you come over here a second? So Willie come over, and he said, Willie, he said, you stand between me and this can, and you stop me from putting the ball in the trash can. So Willie said, uh-huh. And he went to shoot, and Willie hit him in the face with the broom. No, this is true, I swear. It's in the book. You look under Willie with the broom. Willie cleaned him out, man. You know, so the doctor fell down. He said, no, Willie, that's a foul on you. He said, that gives me a free shot. So Willie said, well, for what? Now, think about that. That was decision making. The rules of the game were made right there. So the doctor took the ball. He said, now, I want you to stop me, but don't hit me with that broom. Put the broom down. So he went to shoot again, and Willie punched him. And he said, Willie, you're really one of these militant janitors now. Don't put your hands on me, all right? And don't kick me. Because Willie was getting his foot ready, you know. Willie was polishing that brogan up, Jack. Willie's going to give him a kick in the face like you ain't never seen, because Willie is a good defensive man. He said, well, I got to protect my can, Dr. Naismith. So this is my can. You won't put that ball in my can. Now, you said stop you from putting the ball in my can. Now, you ain't coming in here. So Willie said, now, look, you keep the ball in play at all times. So you have to bounce it while you move around. This don't run around holding it behind your back and holding it behind your head and everything. And they went on and they invented the game.
So that's how we got basketball. It was invented. But while they were waiting, I wonder if they went to MyPillow.com and got one of those rollaway pillows. I've seen them on the Daily Mojo. Yeah, you can tote that sucker anywhere you go. And all you do is go to MyPillow.com, scroll over about, three tabs down, about three boxes, right there where it says Radio Specials. Click on that, and then you use the promo code MOJO50, and it'll save you a dough over there at Mr. Mike Lindell's site. There's all kinds of stuff. There's towels and sheets and pillow and mattress toppers and fuzzy slippers and, man, a plethora of items. And some of that stuff is as much as 66% off. That's more than half. Oh, man, that's almost like free. So get on over there and check it out. I can't recommend it enough. Get you on over there. That's MyPillow.com. All right, we're doing comedians, and to keep in the humorous vein, how's about an old Southern gentleman who had to go to the hospital, and a gentleman that y'all should, don't you love Southern speak, y'all? Y'all should remember from way back in the day before he played with lighters. To the next set of tunes, Jerry Clower and Richard Pryor.
I make it fine with my family doctor, but when he goes to sending me to various specialists, I get aggravated. My leg got to hurting me the other day, right down there above my ankle bone, hurting me something ferocious, bad, a while. I went to see my family doctor. I love him. He said, Jerry, sounds like a sciatic nerve. Your lower back is causing your leg to hurt. I said, well, if that's so, how come it don't hurt all the way down to my sore spot on my leg? He said, that's why we're going to send you to a specialist. My son's a high school football coach down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And he's got a friend that's the orthopedic surgeon that looks out after his football team. And this fella's big in sports medicine. So I called my son and Ray said, I got you an appointment. Come on down. Well, I went out and the doctor examined me, took some x-rays, and he said, Mr. Clower, I'm going to give you an MRI. I said, I thought an MRI was a female operation on a woman. Said, no, it'll give us a picture of whether there's any deterioration on your backbone or not. Said, we're hooked up right here by the hospital. My nurse will lead you over there. Well, this is the first time I ever heard the word MRI. But I was on my way to have one of them. Nurse carried me in this room, and the woman in charge of the MRI said, pull your clothes off. I said, buck naked? She said, is there any difference between naked and buck naked? I said, yes, ma'am, you can be naked with your socks on. So I done what she said, and she held out the gown. Now, when you put on a gown to have your MRI, you just put your arm straight out and walk into it. Because it's as wide open as Niagara Falls in the back. Then she laid me down on a slab on my back and said, here we go. And she pushed the lever and they jammed me up into a concrete bridge culvert. My shoulder is touching each side of this thing. It's also touching my chest. I know I'm going to suffocate to death in any minute. And I feel a little air that she's whirling around up in there amongst me. And she screams, we fixing to turn it on. And when she said turn it on, five grown men with sledgehammers started beating five 50-gallon empty oil drums right by my head. 45 minutes, I'm praying, oh Lord, don't let this thing kill me. Finally got out of there. And I said, well, I ain't never gonna be sick enough to do that again. And I got to thinking up, what would cause me to ever have another MRI? And I decided the only thing I could think of is they would say I could never see my grandchildren again. If they said that about my wife that I've been happily married to for 50 years, I'd have to do a lot of thinking. They may just have to take her.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry we didn't have any drinks to give you. But we have lovely tablecloths. If you have some mustard, you could eat the tablecloth. I'm doing a stand-up on the show because the people, NBC said, well, America don't know who you are. And you come out and they're scared. They just see black people and they get nervous if they don't know who they are. So you should come out and introduce yourself. I was born. Then they feel safe. Oh, it's all right, Marge. You can watch him. He was born. It's wonderful. And I feel like a kid. I love children because they talk so straight. I love the way they be singing, right? This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And you ask them questions, they never answer you straight, right? They go, what happened? First, when we went in, Jimmy, then he pulled things, and I didn't do it. No matter what you ask them, they'd be, and when they cuss, they're great, you know, they go, poopa dooey poop. Beautiful, Jack. My father had a great way of dealing with me. Richard! Mm-hmm. Come here. Come here. No, I said come here. No, not back. Bring it up here. Right. What's that reefer doing in your pocket? What? A reefer in your pocket, damn it. What's the reefer? The reefer in your pocket. And my mother would tell on me, right? She'd be talking, it hurts me more than it hurts you. I say, well, let him beat your kids and hillbillies are my favorite people. Because hillbillies are like children, too. You know, they don't know what they're talking about either, you know. You ever get lost in the South and ask the hillbilly directions? They tell you the history of the world, but they never tell you where you want to go. I say, how do you get down? Well, I'll tell you what you do, boy. You take Junction 35 and you drive down about 14 miles. You make a left turn up there by the big hog sign. Jed Wells built that hog sign up there back in 1927. And it has a big snout coming out of it, because I remember, old boy, I had a semi, I was driving down through there and a jackknife on him and just flipped over the road. Cans and everything laid all around. What'd you ask me? This is beautiful. Travel. Crashes worry me. You know, I'm afraid to fly because I think I'm going to die. And I don't want to die. I don't want to die because if I die, I'll leave some money. And my folks are going to argue over the money. In my family, my grandmother will argue over money. My grandmother, because anybody dies in the family, she takes everything. Oh, my grandmother gets, don't tell me when he died, he had a shoebox up in the closet with the money in. And he had that ring belonging to my brother Bill. It's great. You go to black funerals. Black people have a fit at funerals. White people go to funerals and you're just dead. Yep, that's it.
Is that dirt necessary?
You know, black people fall out of them.
Yeah, well, what he needs to do, that poor guy there, Mr. Pryor, is go over to mojolaserpros.com. Yeah, that's right. That's the portal that gets him into Romica Designs. And get one of them living boxes, or, hey, he could have got one of them steel boxes to have himself put into, I guess, after he got flambéed. But the only way he could do it would be to go to mojolaserpros.com and check it out. That's right. That's all he's got to do. Man, Romika's got all kinds of stuff. Talking about making challenge coins. That'll be cool, too. I hope everybody has been having a fun day. I like listening to these guys. They're funny, and humor is, well, they always did say humor is the best medicine, and it's good for your soul. So why not keep our souls happy, and we can continue with some more comedy. How about a Jeff Foxworthy? And then I'll be back and we'll see who's around. Jeff Foxworthy and youngins and kids there. Yep. Uh-huh. Rugrats.
Foxworthy. Thank you very much. Let me take this opportunity to maybe tell you a little bit about my life real quickly. I am the proud father of two little girls. Their ages are 7 and 9. I live next door to my brother. He has three children. They are all girls. Their ages are 5, 7, and 9. My mother has 9 grandchildren. They are all girls. The oldest one is 11 years old. I live in the estrogen ocean in the middle of the Naked Barbie Woodstock. Naked Barbies as far as the eye can see. There's days I have fantasies about being G.I. Joe on a 3-day pass, you know. Hello, ladies. Guess who just got paid? But I tell you something else. I've learned a lot about girls. And one of the things I've learned is girls can sometimes be a little bit more emotional than boys. Y'all, I spend half my life trying to figure out what people are crying about. I'm like, honey, calm down. Calm down and just tell me what happened. Well, I came in and I was going to go upstairs and play with them, but then they locked the door and they called me a stupid head and they said I couldn't be in their club and I was looking for you and I was calling you and calling you. I'm like, honey, calm down. You're going to scare the children. Now just tell me what happened. Because men have no idea what to do with a crying girl. And it doesn't matter if she's 5 or 25 or 75. See, men have no idea because we've been taught all our lives not to cry. That's why when we grow up, we can be out cutting firewood with our buddies. We'll take that chainsaw, saw our leg off of the knee. We're like, I'm all right. Throw the leg in the cooler. Hand me a beer. I'm all right. And I tell you something that I have learned from these kids. Kids today are so much smarter than we were growing up. My oldest daughter, on her 5th birthday, asked for and got a computer. 5 years old, gets a computer. She can use it right out of the box. A computer, 5 years old. Remember what we got when we turned 5? A little wooden paddle with a rubber band and the red ball on the end of it. That was a brain builder, wasn't it? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1. You'd hit it about 4 times, the rubber band would snap, the ball would fly across the room, break something, and you get a spanking with the paddle. No wonder we turned out this way. Oh, and nowadays you can't even spank your kids. No, gotta give them a time out. And my dad would take time out of his busy day to whip our butts, man. But truthfully, there are a ton of things that have changed for kids in just like a generation. I was doing a TV show not long ago, and they were asking, it was kind of more serious questions. And one of them, they said, what's your earliest recollection in life? And I thought about it, and I said, well, I remember being
about 3 years old, and I'm standing on the front seat of the car with my dad, and every time he would turn the corner, I would make the sound of tires squealing. You know, like, my dad would go, quit squealing my tires. All of a sudden it dawned on me, what was I doing standing on the front seat of the car? See, back in those days, kids weren't too good to go through the windshield with the rest of the family. Lord, I can't back out of the driveway without my children being in car seats with shoulder straps and safety fits. Think back, I can vividly recall riding all the way to Florida, laying in the back window of the car. People behind us going, Harold, is that one of those bobbing dogs? Now that's a skinny kid with a big head. Boy, what a big head. My dad slammed on the brakes. You go bounce around the car like a pinball game. End up face first in a full ashtray. Yeah, because that was back before secondhand smoke, too. Dead of winter, my parents had every window in the car rolled up there in the front seat smoking like it's a contest. Our car looked like the Cheech and Chong mobile. I'm the only kid in kindergarten with a smoker's cough.
Could I please have a crayon?
Do you know, I remember as a child, my mother used to leave me, my brother, and my sister in the car while she ran into the grocery store real fast. If you did that to a poodle now, they would fry you on the 6 o'clock news. And I tell you something else, now that I'm grown and have kids of my own, I understand why my mother didn't want to take three youngins in the grocery store. I would rather take a beating with a brick stick than take kids in the grocery store. Because as soon as those doors slide open, those kids start begging like homeless people at Christmas time. And somebody with little kids, what's the worst aisle of the grocery store? Try to get those kids down. Cereal. Cereal. You know why? Because little kids buy cereal the same way grown men buy lingerie. They will buy stuff they care nothing about just to get the prize that's inside. Everything's changed. Even their toys have changed. Like I noticed last Christmas, every toy my daughters get now, it's got little tags in it, showing you somebody has inspected it to make sure there's no possible way a child could hurt themselves playing with that toy. I remember being 9 years old, my parents bought me a wood-burning kit. Hey, what could possibly go wrong with a toy like that? A sharp metal stick that heated up to 5,000 degrees. And I'll tell you something, our dogs and cats didn't have a little tag around their neck, but everybody in the neighborhood knew who they belonged to. Yeah, the Circle F brand, that's Foxworthy cat right there. What were they thinking? Some of the toys they gave us. Lawn darts. 12-pound darts. You could kill an elk with a lawn dart. And there were no directions to them. They just came in a box of eight. We used to pull them out of the box, throw them straight up in the air. You catch one of those with your head, you're getting coloring books for Christmas the rest of your life. I got latches on cabinets to keep my daughters out of the dishwashing detergent. My parents gave my brother and I a chemistry set. Mom, Joey put ammonium sulfate in my eye. Tell him I said stop. You boys go play with the wood-burning kid. Better yet, go outside, get on the mini bikes and shoot the BB guns. And listen, don't take candy from strangers unless they offer you a ride.
You guys have been great. Thank you so very much.
More Jeff Foxworthy.
Where we go to church on Sundays, church on...
And that was Jeff Foxworthy. Oh, my God. My eyes are watering. That's terrible. Yeah, play with BB guns, ride motorbikes, mini bikes, no helmets. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's the way life used to be a zillion years ago. And One thing that hasn't changed is APR Coffee. That's American Pride Roasters.com. And hopefully within the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks, they're going to be roasting again. So get over and get your orders in and be the first in line to get you some of that fantastic, marvelous APR Coffee. And in the meantime, get on over and kick a donation in because their house got run over by the tornado. Oh, my goodness. How long have we been? The show's been on for a while today. Look what time it is.
Romper, bumper, stomper, boo. Tell me, do. Magic mirror, tell me today. Have all my friends had fun at play?
Well, I hope so. Let's see, we're down to like 100 days until the family reunion. Oh, my goodness. A scant 100 days, that's getting so close. Yep, let's see who's out there. My cousins Marlene and Jennifer and Nettie and Cheryl and Vicky and my brother Brad and David's listening. And who else we got out there? Everybody. There's Holly. Hey, speaking of Holly, she comes on today. You guys know that, right? Damn It with Beaver at 5 p.m. Eastern right here on Mojo 5.0. I happen to know what her show's about this week. Remember last week I didn't know? This week I do know. It's Dumb Crooks. Yep, she's going to be talking about crooks that ain't got no more smarts than her guest co-host. Oh, who is that? Me. So be sure to tune in at 5 p.m. this evening to catch Demet with Beaver and Dumb Crooks. Hi, Diana. Hey, Jedi and Jennifer and Mike and Becca and Kim and Lazarus and Jason and Carla. Hey, Crafting, how are you, darling? There's Farmer and Audrey. I hope you're not working too hard, the little blue alien. There's Rick and Kathy and Chelsea and Knights at St. E. Hello, Fred and Emily. There's Rob and Jason and Magneto, Chelsea, Liz, and Sue, too. Hey, Olga, you still listening? I know she had to go back home. Hey, Lenny. Hey, Kevin. What's up, boys? Hey, Melissa. How are you, my dear? Let's see. There's Michelle and Melanie and Jen and Bob and Allie. Hi, guys. There's Chet and Robert and Danny. There's Timmy and Klopp and Erica and Peyton. Man, Peyton does some great stories there on American Huck Radio. Be sure to check him out. There's Ethan, who moved up north there to Cincinnati, I think. There's Lynn and Tommy. Hopefully, he'll be coming down here next few weeks for a visit. And there's my compadre and other half there for Ain't You a Peach, Miss Jamie. How are you, my dear? Let's see. Our next show, I think we are talking about Darwin Award winners. Yep, yep, yep. And there's Linda and Debbie, my favorite gals. And I understand Miss Debbie's feeling better. She's been a bit under the weather with the colds, flus, cruds, you know, hopefully not the Ronas. Not the Ronas. My Sharona. Okay, let's see. What have I got for you now? A gentleman by the name of James Gregory. He reminded me a lot of Jerry Clower. And how about some old Eddie Murphy? Let's get to a couple of more funny yuck yucks, ha ha's, and away we've gone again.
My first cousin died. Now see, we're talking about my side of the family. And don't let this go no further. You know, he's the one that got killed with a hay baler. Yeah, out baling hay. Thank goodness he was working near the road there. And somebody just driving by happened to notice that this hay baler was running amok with nobody on it. At first, they thought he had just gone to lunch. Then somebody with a brain said, no. He wouldn't jump off a moving hay baler to go to the huddle house. Well, to make a long story short, here's what happened. He had been up all night the night before watching that Nick at Night. They had this Mary Tyler Moore marathon. He watched every damn show. Anyway. So he goes to work the next day without any sleep at all. And he's working on the hay baler, dozed off, and just fell off the hay baler. And it just bailed him up. Trouble was, there must have been 1,000 bales of hay laying out there. And they didn't know which one he was in. I swear, it was just like hunting Easter eggs. Thank goodness, though, he was wearing his Braves cap. And it was like sticking through the hay. And somebody said, here he is, here he is. And we gave them a chocolate rabbit. It was a closed casket service. He had always wanted to be buried in his favorite blue suit. I said, well, not this time. You know what? You have to be very careful. You know, people get sensitive at a time like that. I didn't mean nothing by it, but, you know, they didn't have no insurance. They didn't have no money. And I just said to his wife, I said, look, since he's just this long now, why don't y'all get him a plot like in a pet cemetery? Just tell him his name was Fluffy. They were pissed.
If you have watched Saturday Night Live the past few months, you already know my next guest. He's emerged as one of the brightest lights of the cast on that show, and this is his first time on the Tonight program. Would you welcome Eddie Murphy? Eddie?
Thank you. Shut up. I've been in, this is nice, California. I've been out in here for about 3 days. If anybody see me walking around, I have to explain. I had the same suit on for 3 days because I like this suit. I bought it from the catalog and I enjoy it. You ever see those guys modeling clothes in catalog? Ever see those guys doing the same thing in their suit? Every time I put on a suit, I got to go like this. I was just outside, standing in the front going. You know? Anybody ever see those guys that model their underwear in these books? And they smile while they're doing it, they stand out there going. Did you notice these guys never have no bulge? You ever check that out? And they're standing there in front of millions of people, smiling. First of all, if I didn't have no bulge, I would not be modeling no underwear. Okay? And second of all, I damn sure wouldn't be smiling. You know? I might be modeling like this. You know, Johnny said something about buckwheat a little earlier. He was talking about buckwheat. And I did buckwheat on my show, right? And the name buckwheat, I started thinking, right? I'm from a predominantly black family. And I have yet to run into a relative named Buckwheat at a cookout, you know? You can't just walk off the streets and walk up to somebody and say, hey, how you doing? My name's Tom, what's yours? Oh, my name's Buckwheat, man, nice to meet you. Yeah, Buckwheat, that's my name. No, I'm serious, I ain't got no last name, Buckwheat, that's it. I'm serious, you don't believe me? Ain't that right, Stymie? Hey, here's my brother Stymie over here. And don't leave watching me my other brother. Hold on. Farina! Yeah, Buckwheat's and Farina. You know how most people name after their father? Me and Farina was named after that father's favorite breakfast. Buckwheat's and Farina. My mama named all the kids after cereal, man. That's my little sister over there. Her name's Shredded Wheat. Yeah. And those are my twin brothers over there, Quisp and Quake, right there. And that's my littlest brother right there. He's a little slower than everybody else. His name is Special K. That's my big sister. She a prostitute. Her name is Trix. Stand next to her is my big brother. He's homosexual. His name is Lucky Charms. You might know. I'm gonna quit show business. Making my announcement. I'm gonna become a Secret Service man. It's the truth. Because they have no black Secret Service men, and we would make better Secret Service men than white people, truthfully. Because we're more menacing. We are. See, we have a different rhythm to us. We see somebody that looks suspicious, we just walk over to the guy and say, excuse me, man, you crowding Mr. President. Then I'm going to run for president, because we haven't had any black presidents lately either, have we? Somebody black should run. It'd be different. There's nothing to lose. It'd be fun, man. It can't get no worse than it's been the past 100 years. I figured, why not take the risk? Everybody's afraid to run, though, because they know that even though it's 1982, it's still a risky business to be the first black president. You know, you have to give speeches like this. My fellow Americans, as the president up here, we the people must get together and join hands. Are you watching these people over here? The black dude in the back going, hey, that ain't funny. I'm kidding, I'm not gonna quit the business. I'm having fun. I bought a new car recently. I ain't gonna say what kind of car it is, but in 82 the cars talk. Did you know that anybody get a new car recently? The cars speak to you. If you leave your lights on, the car will say, ding! Lights are on. And that's bad, man. I leave my lights on purpose when I take a girl out. I get out of the car, I say, lights are on. The girl said, did your car say something? I say, yeah, it did. But I bought my car from like a black dealer, so it got a different rhythm to it. You leave your lights on, the car say, hey man, you left your lights on. I said, the lights is on, man. Damn, what, you blind and deaf? That basically is the only thing that changed. I still live in the same neighborhood with the new car. That's kind of tough, man. The other day I got inside the car and put the key in to start it up, and the car said, say, man, somebody stole your battery.
Oh, goodness gracious. That was Eddie Murphy, first appearance on Johnny Carson. Wow. Long, long time ago. Still funny. Funny as all get out. Let's see how we're doing on time. Well, let's see. 3 would make that and then add 6. So about 9 minutes. Wowzer. We're getting there quick. And, you know, I wonder if Mr. Murphy ever went to prepare with Mojo50.com. That's right. As if he did, he went to prepare with Mojo50.com. That would take him over to My Patriot Supply. He could find the 3-month supply, which, if memory serves right, is still $100 off. The 3-week supply is there, as well as all the accoutrements that you need to cover your derriere once the balloon goes up. And, well, we've already heard Creepy Sniff 'em, Feel 'em, Kiss 'em, Touch 'em, Uncle China Pedo Joe say that there will be food shortages. So since he said it, I'm sure they will be. So get on over there to prepare with Mojo50.com and get some grub so you don't starve. All right, let's see. What do we got next? Cool. He should fit. How about some Kevin Hart? We're moving up in the timeline for the most part. Did you notice? All right, Mr. Hart, it is your shoe.
Clap your hands, sir. Stop being racist. Clap your hands. Jeez. I don't like the pressure that women put on you, though, like after you have kids. Like, you got enough pressure in a marriage as it is. Like, your woman wants you to provide for her and to protect her. I don't mind providing. I got money. Let me pay for stuff. I don't like protecting. Like, say me and you go to the movies, right? And a guy come up and smack you right in the face while we at the movies. If you with me, then you just got smacked. That's something that just happened. Like, we can talk about it when we get in the car. Let's figure out why it happened and see what we can do. to prevent it from happening again. But as far as me, like, just going and doing something about it, I'm not going to do that. Because if he didn't care about punching you in the face, I know he don't care about my face. That's common sense. Two black eyes don't equal 20/20 vision. Somebody got to get us home. That's what I'm good at. I'm a witness. Let me drive. I saw everything. I saw it all, babe. When he punched you, I got behind the vending machine because I didn't want him to know that we were together. That's none of his business. I don't like ostriches. For those people that don't know what an ostrich is, it's a bird that's the same size as me. I'm in Nebraska, right? I had a run-in with this ostrich. I'm in Nebraska. I'm on the side of the road. I'm peeing. I get done peeing. I look to my left. It was an ostrich looking at me while I was peeing. He was standing on one leg like this. His body was facing this way, but his head was like this. Now, I didn't know what it was, so I didn't say nothing. My friend got out of the car. He's like, yo, what the hell is that? I was like, I don't know. It's like a big pigeon or something. I didn't know what it was, right? He was like, there ain't no pigeon. He took an ink pen, threw the pen at it. When he threw the pen at the ostrich, he hit the ostrich in the chest. As soon as he hit the ostrich in the chest, his other leg came down. His body was still facing this way, but his head was still like this. I was like, you know what? We should probably go get in the car because we don't really know what that mean. You know, like that could be a sign. That could mean like you got 10 seconds to get out of my face before I kill you. I'ma eat your kids. We don't know what he trying to say. So let's just get in the car where we safe at. So we get in the car, I start laughing. I'm like, ah, you were scared, man. He's like, no, you were scared. I'm like, no, you were scared. No, you was. I'm driving like 30 miles per hour. I look out the passenger window, the ostrich was running 30 miles per hour beside the car. His body was still facing this way, but his head was like this. And he was haul-assing at 30 miles per hour. Now, when I'm scared, like if I'm real, real scared, sir, I'll start to cry. Only if I'm real scared. So I was like, why would you throw a pin at it if we don't even know what it is? I was freaking out, right? He was like, man, stop being a little girl. Just speed up. Drive faster. I start driving 60 miles per hour. When I tell you that this ostrich was running 60 miles per hour, I am not playing. His body was still facing this way, but his head was like this. And his legs, you couldn't even see them. It looked like a black cotton ball floating. It was amazing. And I was scared because he never took his eyes off us. Like, he was looking at us the whole time. Like, he didn't check for a wall, another bird, nothing. It's like, he was like, when I catch y'all, I'ma kill both of y'all over a pin. And I was like, why don't you just apologize? Because I was scared. I'm scared of dolphins as well. I'm very scared of dolphins. And I, like I said, I got a reason to be scared of everything that I'm afraid of, right? Me and my lady, we in Maui one time. We in Maui. She's like, babe, we should go swim with the dolphins. I'm like, no, I told you how I feel about them dolphins. I don't want to swim with the dolphins. She's like, come on, stop acting like that. Let's swim with the dolphins. I was like, you know what? Let's swim with the dolphins. Something happened to me, it's going to be on your conscience. Now, we go to swim with the dolphins. They got the dolphins in like this little tank, right? It's like 8 dolphins. I see an old lady on the back of a dolphin, these little boys. I'm like, you know what, babe? I might have been overreacting. Get the camera, take some pictures of me on back of the dolphin. I was excited, right? I get in the water, I'm on back of the dolphin. The instructor, he says, as soon as you grab the dolphin fin, the dolphin gonna start taking you around. So whenever you ready, grab his fin. As soon as I grab my dolphin fin, my dolphin went straight to the bottom of the tank. He went straight down, right? Now, because I was scared, I didn't let go. I held on. And you know when you're scared, you start to mentally create stuff in your own mind. I was like, it's obvious that I got a racist dolphin. He don't like black people. That's obvious. He done cut a deal with a shark to bring him a black piece of meat. Something bad about to happen, right? I let go, I get to the top, I start snapping on the instructor. I was like, nobody just saw dolphin number 8 missing, huh? Nobody noticed that I was gone for like 30 seconds? You don't have a bell or nothing that you ring? He tried to kill me. He took me to the bottom of the tank to meet with sharks, okay? I'm the only black dot in this damn tank. You didn't notice that I wasn't going around, huh? You see this old lady and this little boy, but nobody noticed the black swirl missing?
Oh, nobody goodness gracious. That definitely make you want to laugh. My eyes were watering. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Miss Morty. That was good. They've been some good, good, humorous gentlemen today. I wonder if we had to do that sometime. Maybe make a, see if there's enough chickies. Because there used to be, what, like Paula Poundstone and Rita Rudner and all them chicks. Maybe we ought to think about doing that sometime. Do a gals comedy Saturday. That might be kind of interesting. I know the ones today, they definitely had me going. And I feel sorry for a guy that died in the hay baler. Oh, Lord. Take him to the pet cemetery. That's bad. That's really bad. But by the same token, I can almost see them doing that in the South. That is terrible. So let's see. Don't forget to catch me along with Miss Holly later on this afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern for Dammit with Beaver. And then at high noon tomorrow, and Jamie and I with Ain't You a Peach. My friends and family, it has been my pleasure to bring you the Yuck Yucks on this Saturday. I want you to stay healthy, stay happy, above all, stay true to yourselves, and we'll do it all over again next week. Peace out. Until then, everybody, have a great week. Till then, bye.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
American Rock Radio.